Jeffrey Epstein files alert, alert. We've got Tim the Sorcerer on the line, but I want to read this headline. In a 180 reversal, it's gone from hoax to now President Trump banging his fist on the table. President Trump demands House Republicans vote to release Epstein files. Warns Republicans not to fall for Democrat trap designed to distract from his record-setting achievements. So I think he's saying, get it done, get it out of here, and then let's keep going. And we've seen, I think we've probably seen the worst of it. You know, there was a joke that they were, oh, he's blowing somebody. Trump was blowing somebody, and nobody cared. And maybe Trump thought people were going to believe it, but I think nobody believed that hookers were peeing on him. You know, I don't think anybody thinks President Trump is gay. The guy's been a woman hound for years. So President Trump is done playing defense. Tim the Sorcerer, I want to get your reaction from Seattle. You're on the line.
How's it going? Yeah, the Epstein Island thing, it's more than Trump, ladies and gentlemen. I believe a lot of the people that were responsible for implicating or implementing COVID at the higher-ups, Department of Defense, all the hospital officials, the insurance heads, they were all compromised at Epstein Island. This is bigger than just Trump. And I think that this is probably one of the most important issues of our day, is to make sure that these pedophiles are all held accountable. I don't want to be in a government. I'd rather go to Russia and deal with the gulags than deal with these gay pedophiles just warping our kids' minds and having no options and just having to sit there on the fence and wait for time to take me. I'm done with that. So I think a lot of Republicans are as well. But again, it's gonna really shake the foundation of our government. They're the ones that made the bioweapons. They're the ones that signed on to the depopulation agenda. They did it. Now it's time for them all to be held accountable. And I think the Epstein Island is the front door to making sure that they are held accountable. I don't think we should ever relent on this. I support Marjorie Taylor Greene for president of 2028. If this is going to be her platform, is to make these pedophiles hang, because they do need to hang. You cannot go around raping children and getting away with it. Your billions of dollars, null and void. Your power, null and void. This system has to come crashing down. And if it comes crashing down on Trump, he's the fool that put himself there, right? We're doing our best to pull him out of this. You know, there's a lot of brand loyalty and worship about the guy, and he's really great and stuff, and we all want him to be innocent. But it's still at the same time, it's almost too late for him. He's guilty by association to the nth degree in a lot of ways. And I think he surrounded himself with so many people in this that are also attached to the hip to the Epstein Island that he can't move. So we have to be the movers. That's my thoughts on this. I have one other thing to say about the gravity thing.
Well, let me just comment on that. I agree with everything you just said. I couldn't have said it better myself. That was very eloquent. We're going to put that out as a clip that Trump, if Trump is implicated in these, it doesn't matter at this point. It doesn't matter. We have to have accountability, and I 100% agree with you. And I don't think he's going to be. I think if anything, he's guilty of at least trying to cover this thing up and sweep it under the rug. But you know, if he is implicated, well, that's his problem. You know, it's not my problem anymore. Justice be done to the heavens fall. Go ahead with your last point. You got a minute.
Okay, you should have on Stuart Talbot. He's a researcher in the electric universe thing. If you guys have been on the internet long enough, you've probably seen things about the electric universe and stuff. You guys were just talking about CERN and it creating a strange light and sucking the Earth into this big gravity well. It's quite possible that that can never even happen. And gravity might be a big myth, right? We are dealing with, like, you were born into Plato's cave. I was born in Plato's cave. Your grandparents were born into Plato's cave. And the establishment has been polishing these lies on top of lies to keep us in this one narrow perspective. And if you have Stuart Talbot on from the Thunderbolts Project on YouTube, it'd be very informative for your listeners and your base to get maybe a better understanding of how they're going to try to manipulate and kind of, tweak everything. There's a lot of people think that the internet is forever and stuff like that, and what we've been taught in school is real. The internet is here for us to learn about the lies. That's what it is. It's going to expose all the lies. And the standard cosmos.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you, and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch live right now at band.video.
Great callers today. Already bringing up lots of interesting stuff. Yeah, the electric universe. I think Nikola Tesla was talking about the electric universe and was pulling electricity out of thin air. Imagine that. We don't really need to get rebar and tons of concrete to make giant bases and build giant wind turbines that don't really work and then fail when you need them, which causes, you know, 2-week power outages in most parts of Texas because you didn't winterize them. You know, you don't really need that. You just pull it out of thin air. So thanks for your call. That was Tim. Let's go to Bart in Georgia. Wanted to talk about the hemp ban. Go ahead, Bart.
Yes, sir. Before I get to the hemp ban, buy the methylene blue, buy it before it's banned, before Mitch McConnell has it banned. You know, he's the one behind this hemp bill because I believe he's taking money from the regular marijuana, which is competition for the hemp THC. Excuse me. I mean, how can we eliminate this product when it's been legal for 8 years and all this money has been invested? Now they're just going to shut it down. Mitch McConnell needs to be arrested and asked questions later. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. In fact, we've got Mitch McConnell's bourbon-backed ban on CBD products. So, you know, he's definitely being financed by either alcohol, tobacco, or big pharma. Take your pick. You know, I'm sure Pfizer said, oh, we can't have people getting their painkillers out of a gummy. We have to, they have to come to us and get hooked on OxyContin. So let's go to clip 14 real quick. It's a 30-second clip. Just how, you know, just what Mitch McConnell's doing out there and who's backing him to get rid of some of these beverages that are on the shelves currently and legal.
It's actually 0.4 milligrams per package, and even these simple CBD oils that we offer at Cornbread Hemp and other companies all across the hemp industry offer, they have 1 milligram of THC per serving, along with 25 milligrams of CBD. That's 30 milligrams of THC in a jar of this just little CBD oil. It's simple. It's harmless. People have come to rely and depend on this as a wellness product over the last several years. And now in 364 days, it's going to become a Schedule I narcotic. And we can't let that happen.
Yeah. And we played a short clip from Cornbread Hemp. They were the ones who were riled up about that ban coming out in less than a year now. So it was, last week was the start. That was the countdown clock. So around this time next year, if nobody does anything, then we will be basically a bunch of businesses will be made illegal overnight with the stroke of a pen from a year earlier. Now here's this is 14B, guys. Kyle Turley, former NFL offensive tackle and Pro Bowler, lobbying against hip restrictions, included, you know, he doesn't want this to happen. So obviously he's probably had issues in his life banging up against people and probably found a way to relieve himself without painkillers. Oh, can't have that, though. Not in this world. Not with your digital ID telling you where you can go and who you can talk to. Let's go to that clip.
I was suicidal, homicidal, just out of my mind because of football for cannabis. You know, that's it saved my life.
Why are you up on Capitol Hill right now?
I started coming here a long time ago, fighting for cannabis, fighting for players' rights. It saved my life. I have to do everything I can to give back to that and expose this as much as possible to the public.
How did it save your life?
As an athlete, you know, we were guinea pigs for the pharmaceutical industry. And so, you know, found myself a 20-year addiction to pharmaceuticals to really try to expose that. Because I feel that that has been the one thing in my life that's been able to keep me moving forward. I brought this. This is my rookie helmet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every one of these marks here on this helmet, you know, are what people now understand as CTE.
So in this bill that just reopened the government, it includes language in there that targets the hemp industry.
This bill here is completely going to devastate the hemp industry. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things in there that's going to take a lot of people out of work. And more importantly, it's going to criminalize American citizens for things that they are participating in medicinal use. This is not killing kids. This is saving kids. I've seen this save the lives of young children from seizures to cancer. It saved my life. I'm here. I have two beautiful children that a lot of my friends don't have that ability to be around anymore.
So that was Kyle Turley explaining basic common sense. You know, what you look at what's going on and how that got slipped in and like why we couldn't just have a clean resolution to open the government. Oh, no, we also have to ban the hemp industry. Some little senators like, and we have to, and Mitch McConnell's just like, we're just going to put this piece of paper in. It's okay. It's okay. Holy cow. Because this, and it's like, oh, well, we're not banning it. You can have 0.4% of hemp. In one container, or THC, 0.4%. Nobody's going to be able to live up to that. It's impossible. Oh, we got to stop God's creation. 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 That's what they're doing. That's what they want to do. We got to stop God's creation. We just got to stop it. That's what they're trying to do. So we got a year. Here's my prediction, and If this goes through and becomes law, then it is definitely proof that our government hates us and wants us dead. Right there. That will be the proof. If they don't let people have their CBD gummies, the old boomers and such, and others who take those types of products, or make houses out of hemp, you know, stuff like that. Like, no one's going to be able to grow it. It's going to be banned everywhere. All right, let's go to Sharon in Pennsylvania. I want to talk about the hemp ban. She is very concerned, as are most normal thinking Americans. Go ahead, Sharon.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you giving me a chance to speak about this. Number one, I want to be firm about the fact that I am absolutely in favor of keeping hemp alive for those purposes that are helpful and medicinal for so many millions of people around the world. My concern is, and I don't know, I have no answers or suggestions as to how regulation can take place. But the problem is for nefarious manufacturers is they get around that loophole of the 0.3% THC. They extract that THC, heat it to very high levels, and add horrible chemicals to it that amp up the THC in these products, whether they be gummies, vapes, drinks, or the marijuana itself. And it's causing a medical emergency of untold proportion that people do not understand, which are two conditions, which is cannabis-induced psychosis and cannabis hyperemesis disorder.
Yeah.
They are real. They are affecting 10 to 20%, 10 to 15% of our population, half of which are young people whose brains are not fully formed, or may have may be predisposed because of pre-existing medical conditions, like ADHD or another mental health disorder. However, 50% of that 10 to 15% have had no history of any medical illness and are adults, some in their 40s, 50s, And you mentioned veterans, of course. I actually suffer from CPTSD myself, have used, and I've got a spinal condition that I have to use CBD oil with the highest level of THC that I can get. It didn't help me, but I know it helps many others. So again, my concern is, what do we do? I have no idea of to keep this from happening, because the THC content is extraordinarily high. And
let me respond to that real quick. I agree with you. The industry has to basically come to its own defense, and it also has to regulate itself. The industry, and I think what you do is you just say, we're not allowing anything from other countries. It can only be done here. And these places get tested. You're not allowed to use weird, herbicides and pesticides to grow this stuff. You know, you have to have standards. You have to set standards all along the way. I've heard of these conditions. And there's another condition called scromiting, where people are screaming and vomiting at the same time after ingesting things. But, you know, this can happen with any substance. Kids start drinking too much. They get in daddy's chewing tobacco. They're going to be puking, you know, and it is up to parents to watch what their kids are doing and monitor them. And I know kids can be crazy, but if you sell this stuff not at gas stations and you only put it in dispensaries, well, that clears up a lot of your problem of young kids getting it, at least at the consumer point. But it doesn't stop a kid from going in their parents' stuff and taking it, or getting a friend to buy it who's old enough. I agree. All those things are issues. But attacking an industry and putting a 0.4% THC per package limit it can't be done without way more processing, basically killing the product from going any further. You know, unless you spend a lot more money, and then everybody's paying higher prices. And then people are going, well, why am I not taking OxyContin instead of, you know, CBD oil? I'll go ahead and let you finish up your second point.
Like you said, sir, there has to be a way to self-regulate. We know what's going on with these hemp farms that have been taken over by the CCP in mm-hmm. Maine. But yep. We know what's going on in many other states. And going back to the children, it's adults as well. Again, 50% of that 10 to 15% that are experiencing cannabis-induced psychosis. And unfortunately, I've had two of my loved ones that have experienced that. It is probably one of the most terrifying things you'll ever witness. And unfortunately, one of my sons continues to smoke that pot, and he has been in a continual state. His mind has slipped into a permanent state of schizophrenia, which can happen. So going back to this can happen with anything. It can happen with alcohol. That's actually not true. Alcohol gets out of your system in about a day. However, marijuana can stay in the system and build up in the system over time. We know it doesn't completely excrete for 30 days, so that's a concern in terms of the half-life. But the biggest concern is it's happening not just to kids, but it's happening to adults as well. And going back to it can happen with any drug, yes, it can. It certainly can. However, 80% of all psychosis is due to drugs. And of that 80%, 60% is from marijuana. The rest is from meth.
And it's the new marijuana they've been making. They're trying to make this stuff stronger and stronger and tweak the plants. You know, when I was in college, you couldn't find the stuff they're putting out now. Like, it was impossible. It didn't exist. And now it's everywhere. And I agree. It is strong. It's way too strong a product. And I think you put limits on that. You got to go, listen, guys, there's no reason we need to have, like, what you're saying is true, this 60% of these people going through the psychosis. And I have seen some of it. I think there are ways to get around that. Obviously, if you have people that are abusing a drug and having this problem, then that's what it is. It's drug abuse. But if you're making it, yeah, there's a lot of things that have to be answered. I agree with you. But banning it is not the way to go. Banning something that grows from the ground is not the way to do it. Thank you for your call, Sharon. Appreciate your perspective. Let's go to Herb also. We're just going to continue with the hemp ban callers right now, since that seems to be don't worry, Don, I'll get to you in one second. Don in Michigan. Herb, no pun intended, from South Carolina. I want to talk about the hemp ban. Go ahead, Herb.
Hey, yeah, I was looking at the hemp ban, and through the years, as I've noticed marijuana legalization occur in our nation, I watched that a lot of the primary spots where you see it legalized are often highly Democratic. And it's kind of like an issue that the Democratic Party has used in order to gain influence and power in a lot of places. And it kind of really troubles me that at this important, crucial time when we need the support to come through in the right direction, the president has signed off on this, an issue which a lot of older people, and generally a lot of people that I've seen in areas around, that are using these the hemp derived THC products as painkillers, treatments for fibromyalgia, things like that. When their supply to their medicine that they're using instead of pharmaceuticals is suddenly cut off, you take someone that may normally be a supporter and would help the 2026 midterms or future elections could turn against that and kind of go towards the Democratic initiative towards communism. And that's just not something that I think would be beneficial. And I don't really know if they've considered this. The only other thing, it definitely would probably push towards full-scale legalization. But unfortunately, the Republican Party has not just kind of got their bootstraps up and said, you know what, we need to get behind this and we need to support the legalization. Instead, that has leaned towards the Democratic Party. Which is a very unfortunate thing, as you know, we recently had a Democratic leader, Joe Biden, and nothing was ever done on a national scale by him that I saw to create legalization.
Well, they don't. So they use that as an issue. Yeah, they use that just like abortion. They're never going to legalize abortion everywhere, so they could use that as the issue to get people to the polls.
Yep. I think this may be one of the things that may just kind of tip the scale towards the Democratic Party to just going ahead and just straight winning a lot of these issues. And it's like Owen Schroyer said, he said that he did not support, you know, one issue voting thing. And that was, he was very right about that, but the Democratic Party does. And they absorb those one issue voters.
Into they do.
As soon as they get them, they go right to that party.
No, they're very good at mobilizing those people.
Yeah, I don't think the president sees it, but I think that if he just looks at it and other members of the Republican Party look at this issue, they might can swoop in and get the win. They might could turn this to their favor, you know, and go for full legalization and regulation and make mandates to lower those high THC things in there that people are using. I'm personally allergic to marijuana. I'm allergic to it. If I'm near it, it flares my asthma. But if someone's using something, I get away from them. You know, like I have that option. Like I don't go around people that are drinking either. What is it, like 50% of all violent crime involves alcohol? You know, I don't go around that because I don't like violent crime. You know, like, I don't want to be involved in that.
But right. No,
thank
I hear
you for taking my call.
Yep.
You have a great day.
All right. You too. Thanks for calling. Yeah, it's definitely got... The industry is not perfect, but what industry is? I mean, we just showed you the pharmaceutical industry inserting foreign DNA into your vaccines, you know, and how they were finding it. And some of the foreign DNA causes cancer. It just happens to be that way. I don't see anybody calling for their regulation. I didn't see that in the clean CR. Anything about the COVID shot or Pfizer or SV40. Didn't see any of that. So, you know, it's just like, well, we got something that grows from the earth. You know, like tobacco. It's like they really, you can't just grow tobacco plants. You got to be really, you got to have your stuff together to grow that stuff. Why? Oh, well, it turns out nicotine's actually a really good medicine for you. Oh, we can't have people growing their own medicine in their yards. What kind of country would this be? Let's go to Derek in New Jersey. Just elected a Democrat mayor. He's probably going to raise your taxes. But you do get your hemp. Go ahead, Derek.
Yes. Yes, that's true. The last caller had pretty much the same thought that I did. You know, you've got Mitch McConnell, totally controlled Rhino at this point, and he's kind of pulling a Lindsey Graham with the abortion issue that killed the midterms for Trump and stymied his last presidency.
Yep.
And so now it just seems like a repeat of the same thing. And now, of course, he's helping out his buddies in the alcohol industry is like the on-the-face premise of, you know, that's the way the mainstream media puts it. And I think the other last call, I totally agree. Trump needs to be aware of this, and he signed off on it, and he's going to look like the bad guy in this. He should reverse it and do full legalization. And I don't smoke marijuana either. I'm 60 years old. I had fun back in the day, but not for me. And
I hear you. Yep. Yeah, here's the thing. Hold on one second. Well, the senator and the rep who are from Kentucky who are pro keeping the hemp industry alive, he doesn't like at all, and he's publicly excoriated them. It's Rand Paul and Thomas Massey. So he's not going to listen to these guys if they come up to him and say anything. So it's got to be from some other – it's got to come from Texas, or it's got to come from New Jersey. It's got to come from some other place, because I don't think he's going to listen to Rand Paul or Thomas Massey.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the things Trump's doing, I kind of wonder, is he just, like, stupid or autistic, semi-retarded? I don't know. Because if he loses the midterms, in theory, if what they're telling us is true, they're going to put him in jail for the rest of his life or hang him. So what, has he worked out a deal that they're going to fake his death, you know, when he gets out of the presidency, and everybody will think he got killed, but he'll be living off on some island the rest of his life?
Like Valhalla?
You know, what's really going on? Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely needs to course correct on some things, but there are some things that he's doing that are good. At least, you know, he did close the border up, and we are deporting some people. A lot of people don't like the way he's deporting people, but that's the way it goes. We're going to have our guest next hour. I'm going to fit Don in here, who's been hitting me up. He's got this info wagon. You guys might be able to pull it up on X or something if you go to Don. Don, go ahead. Well, you're thinking, what should we rename it? I think the truth wagon, but go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
Glad to talk to you, and it was an extreme pleasure meeting you guys when I went down there. Just don't know what to do. I mean, what was it, the AJN, the labels everywhere? I take it everywhere. It's the InfoWars info wagon.
Yeah.
And it's not just a car with stickers all over it. I've got all the content. I've got videos. I've got paperwork, everything. I go to all the county commission meetings. I go to the city council meetings, township meetings. I'm a precinct delegate. Everywhere I go, I'm plugging InfoWars. So it's crazy. 31 years, the brand, the building. I know it continues. The InfoWar continues. And it's just so frustrating, the brand that you guys have built up all these years. What do I do with the car, Rob?
I think you keep it and you make them come after you and do something. But I don't think they're going to do anything. I don't think anybody's going to do anything to you. I think you keep it, and it's a symbol of the forgotten times, the old times, you know. But we're not dead yet. We're still here, and every day we're here is a blessing. We talked about doing rerun shows on Friday and Monday, and Jones said, "Listen, every day here is a gift. We need to be live on the air and tell people what's going on." So that's why I'm here. Literally, we had that meeting about 10 feet from me about 2 weeks ago. Maybe a week and a half ago, about whether, you know, should we go on and do a show or should we just do a rebroadcast? Because Brianna and the producers weren't going to be here. They had scheduled time off and whatnot. And Jones is like, no, we need to be live on the air. I said, all right, I'll do it. And we'll find some people. Rob came in here from doing, he's working, you know, another 12-hour day. But that's what, you know what? We're lucky to be working 12-hour days right now. So thank you, everybody out there, for your support. We're going to have our guest Julio Rosas up next, talking about what's going on in Mexico. Lots of amazing footage we're going to be playing to you next period, in our next giant break here. It's coming up. Thanks for watching The American Journal.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of thermoregulation issues, morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. With the sea moss, because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing. But I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder, but I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to. And I'm not a doctor. This is not a medical claim. But people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is. But it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, no, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X @RealAlexJones and @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch live right now at band.video.
Any harm on any of these guards at all, but the people in Mexico seem to be pissed. And, you know, I'm going to share a little J6 story. When we were up there, I saw them pull a guard out just like that, pull him out of, I guess, from the inside of that, where that scrum was going on, that one little part that they showed over and over again. They pulled the guy out, and it looked like he was fighting, and a couple other guys were fighting with him, and then another guy came in and said, whoa, 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 and they stopped, and they escorted the guy out. Instead of going, hey, you know, you're the enemy, it's like, look, we know you're in this position, so, you know, we're all brothers in Christ, so let's get you out of here. But you're not seeing that in Mexico. There's definitely some people pissed, and my guest Julio Rosas is going to, I don't know everything that's going on. He's going to give us all the details. But before we bring him on, we're going to bring him on by phone. He's having some computer difficulties, but we're just going to show this footage over top of it while he's talking. But right now at thealexjonesstore.com, which is how you fund everything we're doing here, everything you see, the extra days as we keep going into this kind of weird moment where we may be shut down at any minute, we don't even know what the future is going to bring. But right now, buy one bottle of CMOS gummies and you get one for free. We're doing this kind of rolling buy one, get one free. It was Shilajit over the weekend. It was Methylene Blue before that. But now it's the CMOS gummies. Buy one, get one free. And there it is. Yeah, so it's not the capsules. It's just the gummies. So try the gummies. People love them. They sell out all the time. And we're always trying to get more in. But, you know, CMOS, it comes from the ocean. It's nutrient dense. It's a digestion aid. It's got natural energy boost. It's a detox. It's promotes joint support and skin and health care. And you buy one bottle and you get another bottle free. Try it out. Maybe get a bottle, get one for your friend. And then you both become customers. We have some of these products like Methylene Blue, 80% reorder rate from people. Also, if you get a subscription, you can get it even cheaper. So get the subscription, you get the buy one, get one free. And then if you use the app, I think you get another discount on it. So if you go to Alex Jones Store app, alexjonesapp.com, you can get the download the app either for Droid or for Apple, and then use that to go buy it. And you get, I think you get another discount rolled in with that. So check it all out. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com funds everything we do. And now we go to our guest, Julio Rosas, on the phone. Are you in Mexico right now, sir?
Yes, I'm still in Mexico City.
All right. So tell me, what is going on at the Sheinbaum compound? It seems to be, is it still as active as it was over the weekend?
No, there is another march scheduled for Thursday, and that's actually a national holiday. It's Revolution Day. And so I think that's why they decided to have one so soon after. But all of this, I would say all of this has been building for a very long time. And the spark that kind of that was created was in the aftermath of a mayor in the state of Michoacán. And for those who don't know, that state has been one of the worst states when it comes to cartel violence. That's actually where the Mexican drug war first started. It started in that state. And so the mayor of the state's second biggest city, he was an outspoken critic of the cartels. He was heavily critical of President Claudia Sheinbaum for what he says was not doing enough to confront these criminal groups. And so on Dia de Muertos, which is right after Halloween, it's one of the most important holidays here in Mexico. And he was assassinated in public. You know, he was with his family. He had policemen guarding him, but it was kind of like a suicide attack with this lone gunman. And so there's a cartel link to that in the reporting. So his killing really angered a lot of people in Mexico because he's just another in a long list of politicians, activists, and reporters who have been speaking out against this problem, and then they get killed or disappeared for it. And so that's why this march was against the president, was against, you know, the narco politics and the alliances that you know, unfortunately exist here in this country. And that's why we saw that outrage kind of reach critical mass once they entered the main plaza outside the National Palace. And, you know, I've been covering riots for quite some time. And I can tell you that this was one of the craziest, riots and protests that I've ever covered.
Yeah, we're showing it on screen right now. They're using like these gates as battering rams going, and the troops are basically like a phalanx, you know, that you would see in like, ancient Rome with their shields up. And I guess that came from they tore down sections of a wall that was there. They started tearing that down, and then the police had to kind of fill the gap. Is that what happened?
Yeah, and what's interesting is that typically in the United States, you have to wait until nighttime for things to get violent. You know, it started out peaceful, right? But as soon as they entered the main plaza, they just started to attack that security wall that they put up earlier last week. And so it went on for quite some time, and because there were no policemen preventing people from reaching the wall, surprise, surprise, the Mexicans were able to finally break through and tear it down. I could say that. It was absolutely intense because not only did we have to deal with the typical tear gas, they're using fire extinguishers, which if you breathe that in, that is a bit of an irritant.
Yeah.
And pepper spray, but the crowd was breaking up basically these concrete manhole covers in the plaza, and they were throwing it at the cops behind the wall, and you know, once they could see them. And the cops were throwing those rocks back at us.
Wow.
In the crowd. And so that's something I've never encountered before. And, you know, quite frankly, it's, you know, by God's grace that I was only hit three times over the course of those couple of hours, because a lot of people got hit in the face and other kind of critical areas, just because, I mean, they were just throwing rocks back and forth for a long time.
And so were they yelling anything at the time? Like, you know, they want Sheinbaum to go. I mean, what do they want? What do the protesters want aside from no cartel violence?
Yeah, so obviously they're targeting the president because she has said repeatedly, especially in the aftermath of Carlos Manzo's assassination, that she will not allow any foreign military to be on U.S. soil, or no, sorry, Mexican soil to fight the cartels, and that Mexico is not going to wage a war on drugs similar to the past, because her predecessor had this famous catchphrase that became a bit of a running joke of hugs, not bullets, in terms of approach to the cartels.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, it's a left-wing party. And so it's the idea that, oh, we'll address the root causes of violence, and that will, you know, we won't wage a war against the cartels. And there is some validity to that, because when the war started in 2006, I mean, violence exploded. But people at the same time say, well, his approach, you know, the previous president's approach hasn't worked. And now Sheinbaum is saying she's basically going to do the same thing. So we need something radically different in order to finally solve this issue. So obviously when they're attacking the National Palace, a lot of their chants were directed against Sheinbaum, against the ruling party, Morena, saying it's a narco state, she's a narco president, and that she needs to get out of office, basically.
And I guess the issue is anybody that comes in and is openly anti-cartel, they either lose the election through votes, or they get assassinated. Is that basically what's happened? Or they get in office and then immediately get killed? Is that the basics? It seems to be, you always read about that in Mexico, you know. Five mayoral candidates killed in, you know, 2 weeks. You know, it's just like, it's just crazy the amount of violence that goes on.
I mean, it depends. It depends on the state. It depends on the criminal groups that operate in the state or the city. But, I mean, yeah, that's basically the gist of it. Because Carlos Manzo, the mayor that was killed, he would film himself going on these raids with the police.
Yeah.
To say that, like, we're taking the fight to these organizations. Because what I want people to understand is that the cartels are no longer simply drug cartels or human trafficking networks. Historically, if you weren't involved in the drug trade here in Mexico, you were usually left alone, right? But unfortunately, the cartels have expanded their portfolio, essentially. You know, they're involved in the oil theft of the state oil company. And most disturbingly, they're involved in extortion. So it doesn't even matter if you're in a city or state that has a highly coveted drug trafficking route. Anywhere in Mexico, a cartel or a local gang will just extort a business owner. And, you know, obviously the cost of living and the wages here don't match the United States. So people are really kind of pressed into indentured servitude or slavery because they have to pay such a heavy tax so that they're left alone. And so that's kind of another reason why Mexicans are so upset because, you know, like I said, if you weren't involved in the drug trade, you know, in the drug war, then you could kind of be okay. But now the cartels are just completely taken over the entire criminal market in various states. And obviously it varies in different places across the country, but it's gotten out of hand. You know, the problem has gotten worse, right? And that's why I think President Trump is trying to explore as many options as he can, because from the United States perspective, simply approaching it through a law enforcement approach, that hasn't worked. Like, yes, there's been some successes of arresting cartel leaders and getting rid of cartels being dismantled, but
there's always somebody there to fill the gap. Always,
right. Yeah. Or that cartel splinters into five different factions, and now you have more violence because they're all fighting each other.
Right.
In addition to fighting their quote unquote other rivals, so it's a very unfortunate situation. You know, obviously, we want, you know, me personally, I want Mexico to do well because they're our neighbors. Right?
Sure,
I mean, this is
yeah.
a country that
yeah.
you know. It's just very, very, just sad to see the current state, because especially from the Mexicans' perspective, there doesn't seem to be an end in sight.
Oh, they just showed the nut punch again. That's the only part that I'm really like, ow. And then they kick some poor kid in the face a couple times, the cops. But it seemed to be almost pretty equal of cops getting a little bit of pain, the protesters getting a little bit of pain. But let's look at it this way. We saw what El Salvador, Bukele did in El Salvador. He just said, you know what, we're going to go. We have to go sort of, you know, fascist dictator on these people to clean it up. And but he's shown that he can you can clean up a country and you can have peace. And then you experience this big boom of people moving there and tourism and a bunch of other things. Mexico's a big country, but also I think they have the ability to clean this up if they really wanted to. I just think the rot is so entrenched. It's hard to get it out there. Is there a chance that they could do something like El Salvador?
It would require an entirely new leadership because the Morena party is the ruling party. I mean, they have majorities, I believe, in both chambers. They recently have their, you know, judges are now elected. And so I don't know. And you're correct in that, yes, they have. I mean, it's a big country. They have a large economy. They obviously have a large military. But I mean, the problem is it's just plain old corruption.
Yeah.
Just in general, that can be separate from, you know, dealings with the cartels. So, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know how to solve this because, you know, obviously to Bukele's credit, but the country is much smaller, and you know, MS-13 and the gang, they were more gang. It was more of a gang. Here in Mexico, they have basically paramilitary units.
Right. It's way more developed.
They're using drones to bomb each other. In fact, there was a drone attack in Tijuana, which was the first time a drone attack was made right by the U.S. border. So there's just a lot of money involved, and you know, obviously, it's hard to root that out when money's at stake. Anything's possible for sure. It's just going to have to require such a drastic change that people are going to be okay with that. And I don't believe that Mexico is in that position because I've seen a lot of supporters, you know, on the left here in Mexico dismissing the protest. They said that it was a failure. They said it was lightly attended, that, you know, nothing's going to come of it. But as someone who was there, there were other marches across the country that also kind of turned violent, too. So it's a wait and see. And that's why this upcoming march later this week is going to be kind of another test of how much they can sustain that energy.
And you know, you write in your tweet at Julio_Rosas11, anti-Sheinbaum crowd. Now, were these more right wing, more left wing? Is there even a right wing in Mexico, or is it just people that are generally being oppressed and they're all pissed off in their own way?
I mean, I would say that there would be more people on the right in a crowd like that, but the organizers made it very clear that they are not part of any party. That they like, it's just they were portraying themselves as just fed up Mexicans of all different stripes. I mean, I can even tell you that I saw someone wearing the trans rainbow flag.
Wow.
Right. So obviously, I wouldn't say that that's a right wing person.
Right.
But so again, because this affects a lot of people in the country. This issue. Yeah, I would say generally maybe it would be a little bit more right wing, but there were definitely people of all political stripes there.
And then how big was this march? And then how big was the crowd that actually started attacking the police? What were your estimates?
So the local media is reporting about the total march attendance was about 17,000 people.
Okay.
It was huge. It's kind of hard to tell how many people were. I mean, you know, tens of thousands, because there were a lot of people in the main plaza, and there's kind of rotating going back and forth because obviously people got injured, people got tear gas or OC sprayed. So then other people would come up to kind of replace them. So, I mean, it was a big fight. I mean, this, like I said, I mean, just the number of rocks alone, I've been reviewing my footage that I got. And I, like I said, it's quite crazy how close other pieces of that concrete came close to me, during that time. And I don't know if it's illegal to have my military helmet that I use in the United States to cover protests. So there, you know, I was kind of out there a lot more exposed than I would like to be, but yeah, obviously it's important to kind of cover this stuff so that, people in the United States can understand what's happening down here.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to be that, you know, if the protests succeeded, if they breached the palace walls, like what would have happened? I mean, you're not gonna end the drug war and the narco state overnight doing that. It's just you're gonna have to have something really drastic happen in order for that system to change. And do you think Trump's going down to Venezuela has anything to do with going after, you know? It seems like he's targeting the cartels in South America now, but do you think that's the first step into coming after the Mexican cartels?
It could be, right? Because I think maybe the risk calculus is that, you know, if we be more kinetic in our military actions to a country that's a little bit further away, but obviously still in our hemisphere, it could put Mexico on notice. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And depending on how that turns out, the situation in Venezuela, and now potentially Colombia, because Colombia says they're going to come to Venezuela's aid. You know, let's say it's successful in kind of getting rid of that criminal element there. Trump can then turn the shine bomb and say, hey, either you do something drastic or we're going to repeat what we did in South America. So I think that's part of the, you know, I think that's part of the strategy, for sure.
Hmm. And, you know, they just signed a law here. Part of the continuing resolution was in 1 year is going to be a hemp ban. And they're going to reclassify marijuana as a Schedule 1 drug. And I don't even know the statistics right now, but I know weed used to come from Mexico a lot. And now there's sort of a, you know, it's been growing in California and Colorado and Washington State for a long time. Is there still marijuana coming up from Mexico, or is it just tailored off and it's just methamphetamine and cocaine? I mean, what are the main drugs coming from Mexico at this point?
Yeah, so weed is no longer the cash crop it once was from Mexico. I would still say that the cartels are actually involved in the weed growing operations in the United States.
They don't have to get it over the border. They could just walk, exactly.
I mean, yeah. California, I reported on this like all the way back in 2021, 2022. California was dealing with a lot of illegal grows with ties to the Mexican cartels and Chinese criminal syndicates. The main drug of choice to be shipped up north is fentanyl, fentanyl-laced hard narcotics, just because, I mean, just, if you just look at it, right? I mean, they can make so much more money. And it's so much easier to smuggle it, 100 pills of, 100 fentanyl pills through the border, as opposed to 80, 90 pounds of marijuana sacks.
Sure. Yeah.
So because it's more powerful, it's more addictive. That's why they're able to make so much more money. And the sad thing is that during the Biden-Harris border crisis, it was actually more profitable to be involved in the human trafficking and human smuggling. That, you know, collectively, it's estimated that they were making millions of dollars, you know, prior to Biden, through that trade, to making billions of dollars, because now people wanted to be caught by Border Patrol because they'd be released into the United States. So so the cartels were able to take advantage of that. So, you know, unfortunately, they were no longer fighting over drug routes, but they were fighting over human trafficking routes. And it extended all the way to the most southern state in Mexico.
Wow. Okay. Well, man, that is a crazy weekend for you, being involved in all that. And you think there's another march at the end of the week? So you think fireworks are going to light up again?
You know, we'll see. Like I said, it's Revolution Day, so I think some people are going to be kind of be in the spirit of that of the country's history. Obviously, I'm not complaining because I love the food down here. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's just a sad situation to see overall, especially as someone who's been covering it for a number of years.
It definitely is. Give us a quick history lesson on Revolution Day. I'm not versed in Mexican history, but I do know what Dia de los Muertos is.
So Mexican Independence Day is in September.
Okay.
That's kind of like the start of it. And then Revolution Day is kind of like the second holiday about that. I would say that, yeah, their version of 4th of July is September 16th, September 15th, September 16th.
Okay.
Revolution Day is just kind of like a follow-up to that. Because obviously there's been multiple countries involved in, not just us, not just Spain, but like France as well.
Right. So this is them kicking out Maximilian and all these people. Is that what was going on? Or
Yeah, right, exactly. So okay. there's been a lot of times where Mexicans have had to kind of rise up and overthrow or you know try to fight against a foreign country. So, like I said, we'll see what happens. I thought it was weird when I first saw it that it was on a Thursday because typically most people are free on the weekends, but it's a national holiday on Thursday. So we'll see how we'll see. It just like voting, it all depends on turnout.
That's it. You're right. All right. Anything else you want to add? Where else can people find your information? I we've been throwing your X account on there a lot at Julio underscore Rosas 11. At Julio underscore Rosas 11. Where else can people find your work?
Yeah, so they can be a subscriber on my Substack, mostlypeaceful.media. Thank you to CNN for that name. that's my primary. In addition to my ex, where people can go and support my work.
Perfect. All right. Well, we need people out there getting the perspective not sanitized through mainstream media and where they can insert their talking points and whatnot. So we appreciate you being on the front lines. And stay safe out there. Watch out. I would at least be wearing a bike helmet, if nothing else, if you're out there.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and then maybe a thick backpack or something. I don't know. That's a lot of rocks being thrown. And Fernando Valenzuela was a Mexican as well. He was a good pitcher. So Mexicans know how to throw a rock. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, brother. Well, you stay safe out there. Thanks for the update and amazing footage. I mean, really, almost medieval in terms of the scrum that was going on there. So, kudos to you for getting that type of footage. You know, I didn't see CNN there.
No. They tend to avoid that stuff. So, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, brother. Take care. All right, we got about a minute left before we get into the third hour, and I'm going to bring up definitely in the second half these TPUSA clips of people now looking into their finances and asking questions. You know, probably nobody would have asked any questions whoever they is shot Charlie Kirk in the neck, but here we are. So I'll pick up a couple calls. I still got Brian and Timmy. You guys hang tight after the break. We got that first 5 minutes. I'll try to fit y'all both in there, and then we'll get on to the third hour. Thank you for watching The American Journal. One thing before we go to break, buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. It's available right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. Give them a try. If you subscribe, you get a 50% off, so that's an even better deal. And then if you use the app at alexjonesapp.com, you even get another discount. So use those discounts to your advantage, especially in these trying economic times as we try to right the ship here that is America. We'll be right back after this short break. Thank you for watching, thealexjonesstore.com.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on infowarsstore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged infowarsstore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
Thank you.